We're starting Koelos over here. Now, there's a lot to know before coming into this. Shlomo Melech, as we said before, wrote three Sfarim altogether. All three were based on the Chachma of Shlomo Melech. Now, how do you get that Chachma? We know it's a Perek in Melachim Aleph and Perek Gimel, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what can I give you? What can I give you as a gift? And Shlomo Melech could have chosen anything in the world. He chose wisdom, the ability to understand certain things. As soon as he woke up that morning after the dream, Shlomo Melech was able to understand the animal's speech and the birds, their chirpings as well. You could take that literally, that he was able to understand what they were saying, although I don't think that animals are really saying anything too important. Or you can take that as an understanding of every purpose, the purpose for everything in this world, where he got a deeper understanding of what animals want and what birds are supposed to do, what everything is supposed to be out there. It could be something a little bit deeper than that. Now, out of the 1,000 Mishalim, 3,000 Mishalim that Shlomo Melech put together, there were three of them that Chizkiyahu and his Siyah, his posse, the rest of the people around him, were able to take, put together, and make into our, put into our Tanakh. We have Mishle, we have Koheles, we have Shir HaShirim. Those are the three that we have over here. Koheles was most likely the last of the three. As we said before, Shir HaShirim seems to be toward the beginning of his kingdom. Mishle was written toward the middle. Koheles toward the end. It is possible that all three of them were said at the end of his life. That is a definite possible over here. Regardless, there were five things that Shlomo Melech wanted to proclaim as his wisdom to all men. Okay? One, man is a passing stranger. You don't stay in this earth for very, very long. Therefore, don't waste your life with all different types of things. Number two, all the things of this world are hevel, and that physical things that you strive for are all considered like nothingness at the end of the day. You're not going to get much out of them. Number three, excellence of wisdom, how great it is to be a smart person to keep working. Number four, observance of the mitzvos, as well as learning the Torah itself. And number five, that there is such a thing as din, as einish and schar, punishment and schar for different people. Those are the five things that he really wanted to go through. There are 12 principles that are also mentioned over here. Divine hashkacha in all the actions of a man itself, the fact that the world came into being as a new creation, the world is beautiful with maximum perfection if we can only find it. It's beyond human thought to be able to grasp exactly what Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to do. Mitzvos and Torah study is the only thing that's really good in this world. Any failures or yisurin that a person goes through in this world are related to the things that you do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows all that is happening in the world. The purpose of man's creation is to attain more and more wisdom. The matter of angels is not something that we can fully understand. Mitzvos are and acts of chesed are a tremendous help to be able to get a person to the right place. The soul, the neshama of a person is absolutely existing, and reward and punishment, as we said before. So that's the idea behind it. There were controversies. There's a lot of different times where the Gemara states that they wanted to take away Koheles because of certain things that Shlomo Melech wrote that were either contradictory to other things that the Torah Kedoshah says, or contradictory to his own words, other things that Shlomo Melech said. They were all expounded, and they were explained, a lot of them by different people out there. Hanan ben Chizkiyahu was involved, etc., and things like that. But they kept Koheles in for this reason, says the Gemara, because the beginning is all about Torah and the end is all about Torah. And because it's all about Torah, even though there are things in between that are inconsistent, they realized, you know what, it must be that we're learning it wrong as opposed to the Sefer being a messed up Sefer. That's why it's okay. The reason why we read Koheles on Sukkot is kind of obvious. Sukkot is a time when we leave the comfort of our homes, the physicality that we have in our homes, and we go out into the middle of nowhere to be able to say, you know what, we don't need this. We can be more ruchni people, more spiritual people. Koheles is all about forgetting about the gashmias and going out to the ruchnias. Koheles is lines at the end of his life. See, I was a person who had everything in the world, and I'm telling you it's all garbage and worth nothing. So that person can tell us on Sukkot that we have to stay away from everything. It's 12 prakim altogether.
So does sort of like prove why it was... we say it was written at the end of his life?
Yes.
So he had time to reflect on the horses and the women and
everything that he's done, and he was able to see it and see I didn't get it. Now, the Gemara says a really interesting thing. The Gemara says it has to do with this whole Gemara of Ashmedai, king of the demons. When he captured Ashmedai, king of the demons, in order to get the Shamir worm, so that's when Ashmedai, king of the demons, eventually captured him, threw him away. He was trying to get his way back to Yerushalayim, and he kept telling people, "Ani Koheles, Hayisi Melech al Yisrael ve'al Yerushalayim." I was the king, and nobody believed him. Everybody thought he was a nobody, until finally he was able to get himself back, and people started to bring himself back. He was able to get back. Some say he never became king again. Some say he became king, right, but not to the same stature as he was before. That Gemara is an interesting Gemara because the Shamir worm was obviously necessary for the beginning of his reign, right? When he had started, that's when he built the Beis Hamikdash. He was king for almost 40 years, born king at 12, and he died at the age of 52. So that would mean that, you know, when he built the Beis Hamikdash 6 or 7 years into his kingdom, somehow Hashem Adai, king of the demons, was with him for the next 30 years toward the end of his life, where all of a sudden he was thrown away and all these lessons were learned over here where Qualls was there. I don't know. It's a strange line over there. It's a strange thing to say. I remember learning that it's a possibility that that Gemara is dealing with the ego of Shlomo Melech, and that Hashem Adai, king of the demons, was the ego, the gaiva, that Shlomo Melech stood for, and that he was fighting his ego at all times and trying to knock down his ego at all times. And if that's so, then you have a really good idea of what it means, that all the way toward the end, when his ego was extremely high and he was figuring out more and more secrets of the Beis HaMikdash, we'll call it, right? That would be what the Shamir stands for. Then he said to himself, I've lost myself. He doesn't even know where he is anymore, and he realizes, oh my gosh, I really wasted my whole life on these physical pleasures and vanities that I never really needed in the first place. And this is him talking about what happened to him himself, which is a great explanation of the Gemara, but you need a Rishon or an Achron to be able to say something like that, not just something like this.
Is there any meaning to Koheles in the name itself?
Yeah, we're going to see. Koheles is called because he used to gather together all the multitudes to tell them about Chachmah. Considering that Shlomo Melech was the greatest Chacham in the world, possibly the greatest who have ever existed, right? He used to always gather people together to be able to make sure. Some of them were non-Jews, right? But often Jews would get together to be able to hear him, and that's the reason why it's Koheles, the Kihilos that he used to get together. It's very Koheles ben David Melech Yerushalayim. These are the words of Koheles, the son of David Melech, king of Yerushalayim. So clearly, David Melech is mentioned over here. The reason why David Melech is mentioned over here is because we're telling you that the reason why Shlomo Melech was zocheh to all the great things that he was zocheh to, we built the Beis HaMikdash and all the chachma that he got, was because of David Melech, his father. That's awesome. And there's also Divrei. This is harsh. This is not going to be easy. He's not going to go around and say, like, well, maybe there's some good things, whatever. No, Divrei means there are some harsh things that need to go on over here. That's the idea of what's happening over here. This is the son of David Melech, but he himself was divinely blessed. This person had everything in the world. He was a very good-looking guy, extremely wealthy. He had all the wisdom in the world. He was a person who was extremely, just everything. He had everything. We're not talking about just Tommy Yid. And it comes different. If a guy who's like a little beggar in the street is like, don't pay attention to your money. That's one thing. When you have the best-looking, smartest, greatest guy in the world who's telling you this stuff, you start listening to him. You realize, like, you know what? This guy probably knows what he's talking about. That's what it means by different qualos. Okay. Hevel avolim amar qualos. Havel havolim. It's all garbage, says qualos. Havel avolim akol havel. Havel avolim, everything is hevel. So there are clearly seven hevels mentioned over here. Havel, havolim is two. Havel, havolim is two. Hakol havel. Seven all together over here. There are seven things that are mentioned over here. So the reason why is at first, the idea of what happens to a person, maybe you go through seven stages in the life of a man. The first stage, you are like a king. Everybody wants to touch you. Everybody wants to do everything for you. You don't have to do anything at all. You're handled like everything. Then, between the ages of 2 and 3, you become like a pig. You're wallowing in the dirt. You do whatever you want. You're able to control yourself, but you have no idea what you're doing with yourself. At 10, you're like a billy goat, you know, a little goat going around doing whatever. You don't care about anything about the damage you cause and stuff like that. Of course. At 10? I don't know. I didn't grow it at 10. At 20, he is a stallion, grooming yourself, getting yourself ready for marriage and whatever it is, like making yourself look good and whatever it is. At 30, you become a donkey, where you're sitting there and working and doing whatever you need to do in order to support a family, the humiliations that you have to get to, and finally, in old age, resemble an ape, someone who is ludicrous in the eyes of other men. And those are the seven over here. So as a little kid, being in the age of 2 and 3, at 10, at 20, at 30, right? And then, I missed one. The only one that I'm missing over there is the middle age, in which you're doing what you need to do in order to get through. I guess that's more of a donkey over there. I don't know what that is. Regardless, the last one is the fact that he's an ape itself. Okay. But the truth is that if a person does himself correctly, mule maybe, yeah. If a person does himself correctly, if he works on himself correctly, well, we all know that zikna motosefes alav, we see the amount of honor that's given to great talmid chachamim and great wise men. No matter how rich a person is, if he acts like a fool, then at the end of his life, he's treated like a fool by his kids, right? If a person doesn't act like a fool, if he really works on himself and becomes smarter and smarter and smarter, aside from the fact that Baruch Hashem, that takes away Alzheimer's and dementia. It's been proven over and over and over again. The more mind games you do throughout your entire life, the more the onset of Alzheimer's and dementia is able to be pushed off. The more you do, the more you work, etc.
Chinese are older. It's not like being racist. When they're older, they remember a lot more than we do.
They do, because they keep working on themselves and they keep doing things. The idea behind that, they have scientific proof that shows that that's true over there. So if that's true, and I saw it in Reader's Digest, so you know it's true, not just Wikipedia. If that's true, then that allows us to understand that a Talmud Chacham is the way to go. Not that a person needs to be a rav and a huge rav somewhere, whatever. Talmud Chacham, that means constant learning, constant working himself, etc. There's an amazing mashal over here that is instructive, says Imam Loez. Number of blind men were gathered in the marketplace. Someone approached the group and whispered to them, here, take this coin and give it to the others as well. It's whispered to one of the blind men, but the other blind men heard it as well. But he didn't give the blind man anything whatsoever. So all the blind men started fighting. Said, hey, give us some of the coin. Give us the coins that you were getting. We were supposed to get one. He's like, I never got a coin. You're a liar. We heard him say that he gave you a coin. What happened over here? An uproar came over here. So here's the pshat. This men are always in an uproar over the pleasures of this world. Each one thinks the other guy got something that he didn't get. Nobody's content because they're sitting there 5 minutes ago before the coins were given. And I'm using my air quotes over here. Before those coins were given, were they all happy? Yeah, they were all happy. They were living good lives, right? But all of a sudden, one guy got something that he wanted. It's just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it over here. That's the shot over here. A hungry dog found a bone, and in crushing it, it was injured, and he drew blood. He lapped at the blood thinking that it came from the bone, but it didn't come from the bone. It came from his own blood. He didn't even realize. That's the idea of what happens when you go into Parnassah thinking you're going to be okay and that's over there. That's, so either way. So it's, again, another mashal over here. A teacher was drilling his pupils to count from 1 to 9, right? Then he told them about the number 0 and said that 0 is absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing there. So the students all said, then that's not mathematics. If a number is nothing, then it doesn't count in mathematics. The Arabs, by the way, do not have a 0. They don't have a 0 in their counting. They don't have anything. They have 1 and then you keep going from there. But you don't have a 0. So he said, teacher said, when 0 stands alone, you're right. Its value is absolutely nothing. But when 0 is added to another number, at the end of another number, it can create trillions. That's the concept of what it is. Similar to things in this world. The actual things themselves are worth absolutely nothing. But if you add them to something that's already good, like chokhmah, then all of a sudden you get to something. That's the idea. She says, what profit is there for the man in everything he toils in when he toils beneath the sun? Again, underneath the sun means everything you do physically in this world. We are not referring to spiritual adventures. We're not talking about chokhmah. Everything physical that you do in this world, what is the point? There's no point whatsoever in getting around with them. It's like a guy who opens up a shop and after the first 2 years, he shows a loss. So he says, okay, the first 2 years I showed a loss, but here I'm going to keep going on, expecting that my conditions are going to continue over here. A fool will persist with that year after year, even though he's losing money, whatever it is. So if a person is going after pleasure seeking and doesn't get the pleasure that he's looking for, stop. You're clearly going in the wrong direction. Don't do it anymore. If you're coming off from the year and you don't find yourself any more happy than you were the year beforehand, then you're in the wrong direction. You're going in the wrong way. You've got to switch something around over here. Dor olech v'dor bava oretz lo mamedes. I've seen generations come and go, and the world stays the way it is. Lots of people, I used to hear this all the time from guys, as soon as I leave this yeshiva, the whole yeshiva is going to fall apart. Okay, no. It's never going to happen. The yeshiva is going to remain as is, and it's not... You're not holding up the yeshiva. You're valuable, and we like having you here, and it's great to have you here. You're a tremendous asset to the yeshiva, but one person is no bigger than the sum of its parts. That's the idea.
The opposite way.
I'm sorry?
You're not the reason why the yeshiva's falling apart.
Okay. Yeah, 100%. If there's something wrong, right, it's not because or due to you, it's not going to be due to anything like that. That's the idea behind it. The pshat is, dor hol dor ba. You know why the dor hol dor ba? Because the generation did not learn from the previous generation. It's time to learn a little bit of history. Time to learn a little bit about what happened in the past. When you see what happens in the past, you see what's going to be in the future.
Jews aren't good at that.
I'm sorry? Unfortunately, no. We never end up doing that way. You look at the generation of what happened with Rabbi Akiva at the time when the Romans had taken over, the base of Mitzvah was destroyed. And what happened during that time? It is so similar to what is happening in our time with our generation, what's going on here. It's all out there. The Jews were becoming extremely wealthy, becoming very, very close to the government. The people were very, very involved. There were the Prushim, the Rabbanim were held in high esteem and high regard. And all it took was one Roman emperor to get up and stop everything. Hadrian, if you want to call it, Trajan maybe. And all of a sudden everything was stopped. Everything was destroyed. Everything they had built up was completely destroyed. The Bar Kokhba rebellion had to start because they thought the Romans were oppressing them and was destroyed and everything was gone. It's so unbelievable to look at this idea of what happened in the past and how it happens in the future and what happened during those times of Rabbi Akiva, how the people started acting like the Romans, thinking that that was the way to go because now the Romans are on our side. See, Edom will come to us if we go to them first. It's not like that. It's very similar to how we're living our lives today. Scary, but very, very similar to how we're living our lives today. V'zorach Hashem v'shubo Hashemesh. The sun rises, the sun sets. Al-makom v'shoeif. It goes down to the place where it's supposed to go, Zoreach Husham. And there, it's going to rise again. There are tzaddikim in this world. They have risen. There's going to be more tzaddikim. After the tzaddik dies, more tzaddikim will come in their place. Will they be of the same level? Of course not. There is no way we're ever going to have a Rav Yashav again, a Rav Moshe Feinstein again, a Chazon Ish again. It's never going to happen. We're not going to have that. Chafetz Chaim, it's never going to happen. But you're going to have a different gadol that's good for your times. And you have to think of it this way. If a person sits there and says, well, I'm never going to have a person like the Chafetz Chaim, so forget it, I'm never going to follow another rabbi. That's stupid. That you obviously don't deserve to have the Chafetz Chaim. Remember, Rabbi Cohn used to always say to us that we never were zocha to see the Chafetz Chaim's real face because our generation is not ready for something like that. And then that video came out. You know how like they say that picture of the Chafetz Chaim, and the front of the Chafetz Chaim picture is not the real Chafetz Chaim. It's not. Now that we see the picture on that video, we see it's not the same picture. It's not the same person, right? It's a good looking Jew. Good looking Jew. Somebody argued with me. He's like, I can't believe that people think that. Of course, it's the same person. I'm like, no. They say it doesn't look like it. But now you see what the Chafetz Chaim looks like. Somehow our generation needed a little bit of an infusion of what the Chafetz Chaim looked like to be able to help us. Maybe that was it.
Was
and then we got it.
I'm sorry? It wasn't just a picture of some guy. I'm saying it was somebody alive.
It was the butcher of the town. That's what the Zach's family used to say. Yeah. The butcher of the town.
It's
good looking. Yeah, you look good. Yeah, you look chushed. You look chushed. Well, whatever. I don't doubt that in the Chafetz Chaim's town, the butcher was a pretty good butcher. That I don't doubt whatsoever. Either way, regardless, this idea can also be the rise and fall of rulers. That whenever somebody gets down, you think to yourself, I've always thought to myself, oh, if only this guy goes down, if only that guy goes down, then everything's going to be okay. It's not true. As soon as somebody goes down, somebody else comes in his place. It's not necessarily the better thing. That's what Klal Yisrael said when Paro died. When Paro died, they said, oh, Baruch Hashem, maybe the next king will be good. And when the next Paro came up was even worse, put them into more slavery, it became even worse. Don't say what you were going to say, but I agree with that in a certain way, right? Holech el Dorom, the Sovel Tzafon. The sun, it has a cycle. The cycle is, it starts in the south and goes to the north. Soviv, Soviv, Holech Haruach. The wind also goes in certain directions. It goes around and around. And around its areas, that's where it goes back. Now, obviously, what it means over here is that as time goes on, we're dealing right here. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west, right? Okay, we're dealing with the north over there and the south. In the winter, the sun rises in the southeast and sets in the southwest, right? It has a very short whatever it is because it doesn't need that long. As the summer goes on and the days become longer, it starts going a little bit more toward the north where it rises in the northeast and then goes all the way in elliptical, circle throughout the sky and sets in the southeast, in the northwest, I'm sorry, sets in the northwest. And the idea is that the sun will go from south to north and south to north through the season. Cyclically, that's the way it's going to go. And just like the sun's yearly motion, so too the world goes. The world goes in generation come, generation goes. Tzadikim come, tzadikim go. Everybody's going to, there's going to be something in the place. All rivers go to the sea. And the idea is, just like the rivers endlessly go into the sea, they never make it full. It's never going to be that the ocean is going to overflow from all the rivers that are going into it. We see that the sea isn't full. The place where all the rivers go, there they continue to go. Now the idea is, now that we know that there's such a concept called evaporation, this is a very easy concept to understand. That we all understand that the reason why the rivers are able to flow is from the rain. The rain causes those rivers to flow. The rivers flow out to the ocean. The ocean evaporates into the air. The air ends up becoming the rivers again when it rains down. The idea is that it keeps going in a cycle, etc. It's the same thing when it comes. Water symbolizes wisdom in the Torah itself. As it flows in, it has to be in such a way where every little bit of chachma you get, every little bit of Torah that you get, forms another thought in Torah that you're able to go through. It should never be that it goes out to the sea, fills up, and you're like, you know what, I'm done. I'm not learning anymore. I'm done with learning. It cannot be that way. You have to keep going and fill up and keep going, and then bring it up and start it all over again. That's the idea called the Varmi game. Yeah.
Shouldn't it depends what you're learning, though. I'm saying if you're learning halacha myself, you get to halacha. Like I'm saying that it's also like, this have an idea like this also kind of is tricky because you have somebody who always wants to grow, but then they get halacha maisa, they learn the halacha.
No, this is deeper. Halacha maisa should be able to take you to another case.
But you stop.
If you truly learn that halacha maisa, it should always apply its lesson to something else. Truly learning halacha maisa, truly halacha maisa is not usr mutter. It's the reasons behind that allow a person to say asur and mutter. Remember, when I was first learning smicha, we asked the Rav Hamosmach. The Rav Hamosmach was Rabbi Kaganov at the time. And he asked us, we said to him, how do we paskin? When do we get to paskin? How do you know you're ready to paskin? Rabbi Kaganov evaded the question. I only understood the reason later on. I only understood the reason why he evaded it later on. There is no time where you're fully ready to paskin. But when a shaila comes up to you, you have to know all the different situations, and you have to be able to say, in this case, I can say X. I might be able to say Y, but you have to know the different situations that you can say in this situation. Now, the application of those laws, it is not a straight-up us or mutter. The reasons and the applications of those laws can then be used in other situations. That's the idea of how it never stops. It should always continuously be going. That's the idea. Remember, Ruchaim Kanievsky sometimes paskins from Midrashim. That shows you, right, the psak changes based on what you have. Called Devarim Yegiyim, Lo Yuchal Yishol Daber. All these things are wearying, weary. You know, they wear you out, I should say. Lo Yuchal Yishol Daber. No man is able to speak about all of it. Lo Sis Ba'ayin Leros. There's no way your eye will be satisfied with seeing what it sees. Lo Sis Mali Oizem Mishmoa. Your ear will never be filled with hearing everything that has to do. A man rooted in the material ground of the world, right, is not worth being in this world. And that's the idea behind it. There's no way that a person can say, well, I was able to do or I was able to get or whatever like that. It exhausts HaKadosh Baruch Hu to deal with all the different physical things that we have over here. There's nothing else over here. The idea is also that the same way that the eye is never satiated with what it sees and the ear is never satiated with what it hears, it just keeps going. It's the same way with our learning and everything we do. Masha Hayu Shiyya. Everything that has happened will be again. Masha Nasu Shiyya Aset. Everything that has been will be done again. There is nothing new beneath the sun itself. This alludes to the perfection of the Torah, that the Torah is always something that we can go back to and understand from there. That every time you see something new in science, you can apply it back to a law that's written in the Torah that we may not have understood up until that point. We think we understand Torah through science. It's not that way. We can understand science through the Torah. Now, that's difficult to do. I don't know too many people who learn Torah and come out with a scientific theory. Right? I have absolutely no idea. But there is a way of doing it, and if only we knew how, it would be a lot easier for all of us. I am going to say like this. Rabbi Gamliel said three different things in Gemara and Sanhedrin. He says, in the future, a woman is going to give birth every single day. Right? He was challenged. A student said, "In kol chadash tachas hashemesh." You know what he did? He said, look at a chicken. Chicken lays an egg every day. In the future, woman will be like that chicken. Okay? The next thing. Another occasion, he said, in the future, trees will yield fruit every day. He said, it's impossible. In kol chadash tachas hashemesh. To which he said, let me show you the tzelaf, the caper bush plant, which constantly is growing fruits every single day and berries every single day. He said, the land of Israel is going to grow cakes from the trees themselves. It's going to grow from the trees themselves. And you're going to be able to eat it right from there without having to do anything to it. He said, it's absolutely impossible. So he spoke to a person, he looked at it and he said, there's a mushroom right there. That mushroom grew overnight. A big mushroom grew overnight. That's what it's going to be like when it comes to these cakes that are being grown off the trees of the gluskos that are over there. The concept is that everything in Yemos HaMashiach always has something to be referenced to in our world. We might not fully understand it, but there's something that we refer to in our world itself. There is nothing new under the sun. Everything is based on something that has happened before and something real that has happened in the times before. That's the idea behind it. So Rabbi Gamliel is trying to say, the state of perfection of the world is where we see things that are happening in the world perfected to the point where it can be done for anyone. That's the idea of Mashiach, but not that anything is going to change by the times of Mashiach itself. That's the idea behind it. And the reason he goes over here, from a single cell, an entire organism can be reclaimed. And that's true, right? If you have the DNA structure of a certain person, in theory, you can recreate that person. We might not have all the science to be able to do it just yet, but you can clone an entire creature based on one DNA strand. You have one cell, not even a cell, an atom of that person, and you'll be able to take everything from it. So to every aspect. I'm sorry? Everything.
Is that really how?
Yeah, they have it by the regular, with DALI. You have to be able to put it inside a cell, create a new cell from it. I'm sure as stem cell research goes on illegally, they're going to be able to find ways to be able to create things in a vacuum without having a person there. But it's definitely going to happen over here. The possibility is out there that it's going to be possible. There is a way to be able to do it. Who knows if that's what it means by Tchias HaMesim. I look at Tchias HaMesim as a Kaddish Baruch Hu bringing the ground back to life, and all of a sudden these people come out of nowhere. But who knows if the real Tchias HaMesim is Mashiach coming along and saying, here's what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants us to do and allows us to recreate every single person. I have no idea. I think that might be Kfira if it comes from somebody who's not holding. But do you understand what I'm saying? The concept is 100% true. Ain kol chadash tachas hashemesh. I've always found it strange to have a zombie, you know, like stick his hand out through the ground and be like, I'm back, and he's not asking for brains. I get it. That's a little bit strange. But the concept of Tchias HaMesim does not have to be sick. It doesn't have to be something disgusting. It could be a way over there in a different way. Say it's created from the ground. Who knows what kind of ground we're talking about? Maybe it's ground mamish from the mace, meaning you take the ground of the mace where the DNA structure and cell structure is right there, you're able to recreate the person. Again, I am not saying this is an absolute. I'm saying this is a possibility to be able to understand in Kol Chodesh Tafsa Shemesh. That's the concept, and we see it with our own eyes. We're blind to it. We don't see it fully. Then, Pasuk Yud, Yesh Dover Shiyomer Re'eze Chadash. There are some things out there where you say, look at this thing, this is brand new. Nah, it's garbage. It's been here forever. And it's been there for such a long time. A mule. He's like, oh wow, I've never seen a mule before. No, a mule exists from a donkey and a horse. It's just a combination of them both. That's all it is over here. We see miracles and we're like, oh wow, that miracle is a brand new thing that's never happened before. Yes, it has. You just haven't seen it and you don't know where it comes from, but the concept of a nace has happened the entire time. That's the idea. And Iko Elis. The truth is, this should have started off all of Koheles. Should have started off and said, I am Koheles, I was king over all of Yerushalayim. But he wanted to start off with the whole concept we've been saying. See, here's what my book is all about. That's what he wanted to start off with. And now he gets into the real stuff over here. He said, I'm going to expound on this and tell you I have my own experience. You think I'm talking just from what other people have told me? You think from there? No, this is my experience and what I've been able to do over here. I've seen what I ended up having. This is the whole thing with Ashmadai itself. I paid attention. I wanted to search out and dig through in wisdom. Everything that was happening under the sun, under the heavens. And what I saw is it's terrible. That God has given to people, Lano's bow, to be exercised by. There's a lot of bad stuff that's going on over here. The king saw the servants were a little bit slack in doing what they were supposed to do. So you know what they did? He decided he was going to give each man a big tract of land. They were all rich in gold, and there was a lot of stuff in there. And all he told them is they could keep all the gold that they were going to get from the ground itself. So the servants rejoiced. For many years afterward, they continued working the land and doing whatever it is. Eventually, right, they accumulated so much gold, they ceased to value it. They no longer want it anymore. But the king's purpose was achieved. With all the work and whatever, and the whatever it is, they didn't do anything else. They weren't lazy. They weren't mischievous. They got what they were supposed to do inside this world. That's like the physical things that you have inside this world. The mashal is the idea behind it. I see that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing is to keep man busy so that he doesn't mess up. That's the reason why I work. Imagine, if you didn't work 9-10 hours a day, right? What would you do all day? I don't mean to say it this way, but people who don't work all day, who don't have a kid at home, they're not working all day. What do? They do nothing. They literally do nothing. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not what I want this world for. Work is a tremendous gift to us because it's a concept where I get to do something all day. If I didn't have it, I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah, but can't you say it also prevents you from learning?
There's no question. And wouldn't it be awesome, right, if chokhmah and learning would be given to us automatically? That also is going to take a lot of work. But if a person isn't used to working at a business, it's very hard for him to find value in learning and to work hard to be able to gain his learning. When a person, you see this by many older people, as people get older, no longer teenagers, when they're not being forced to do it, right? All of a sudden they're like, you know what? I'm going to learn. The seriousness of what they've gone through in their work world caused them to realize they've got to be more serious about their learning. I can't even tell you how many people come up to me and say, you got to help me learn how to learn a piece of Gemara. I can't even tell you how many people come up to me. And I tell them, it's going to take a lot of time. You're going to have to put it forth. And some people say, all right, then I'm not doing it. And other people say, I'm doing it. And they'll put forth the effort to be able to do it. I see all these things that have happened under the sun. It's all garbage. It's a complete waste of time. Because there are so many things that are messed up that can never be fixed. Something that's lacking, that is no ability to be able to come back. And this is obvious. When it comes to doing sins, when a person sins, there's no real way to fix that up. Can you do tshuva? Of course a person can do tshuva. Of course. Why couldn't a person do tshuva? But to actually, if you miss out on a certain thing, there is no way to bring yourself back to that situation that's going to be. In Shemayim, you may do tshuva and it'll be like this. You'll have a world happening and then all of a sudden like that, and it'll be taped over of like a guy learning, right? And then it goes back to like your regular life. It's going to look messed up. If you didn't put on tefillin one morning, you lost that mitzvah forever. It's never going to come back. There's no way to do it. You might do tshuva, but there's no tshuva that can make you do the mitzvah all over again. That can't happen. You missed out on the mitzvah, it's gone. That's the idea behind it. The idea is that two close friends were partners in crime for many years. One of them repented before his death, right? He did tshuva, and they treated him as if he was a tzaddik, but his friend was put among the sinners. So he said, I don't understand. In Olam Haba, he said when he got up there, he was like, is there favoritism? We robbed together, we thieved together, every crime we committed together, we did together. What's the difference between me and him? He said, he did tshuva. You didn't do tshuva. He said, let me do tshuva now. He's like, it's too late, dude. It's too late. It's already missing. Once you're missing, there's no way to be able to fix it up. At some point, it's too late. Dibarti ani im libi. I spoke to my heart. Lemor, and I said to myself, ani hinei galti v'osafti chokhma kol asher hayu lefonai. I am smarter. I've gained wisdom more than anybody else in front of me, Yerushalayim. V'libi ra har bechokhma v'das. I've seen a lot of great things over here in chokhma v'das. This is what Shlomo Melech was saying about himself. And libi, and I paid attention l'das chokhma v'das olelos. I want to see about wisdom, and I want to see about folly. The sickness and foolishness. Yadasha comes out who Ryan Ruach. And I knew that this is Ryan Ruach. But I wanted to think to myself, maybe I'm taking it too deep. Maybe there's something over here. Maybe a person can have a little bit of fun in this world. Maybe he can get something out here and he's going to be able to do it. So I wanted to figure out, maybe there's something that I'm missing that Chokhmah doesn't have. Ki rov Chokhmah rov kos. And I've seen that when a person has a lot of Chokhmah, he gets angry at other people. He looks at other people and he says, oy vey. I can't believe that a person is actually doing this. Yosef das Yosef machod. The more das you have, the more your pain is involved. With the increase of knowledge, there's an increase of pain that a person goes through. And if you love learning, you're never going to be satiated with it. But I saw that there's a bigger yitzhar that comes along with it. And I saw that. So I said to myself, you know what? Maybe there's something to this. Maybe the rov chokhmah is too much. Maybe I'm getting too angry. Maybe I'm doing this. Maybe I should get involved in the physical pleasures of life. So now Perek Beis is going to be about Shlomo Melech getting involved in the physical pleasures and seeing that it wasn't worth it. Perek Beis over here. Amarti ani believi. I said to myself, l'chon no asachav anascha b'simcha. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to libate wine in my simcha. I'm going to drink a lot of wine. U'rei betov. I'm going to see only the good. V'nigam hu havel. And I realized, nothing. I got nothing out of it. The parties, at the time, things were good, and I realized afterward I got nothing from it. Nothing happened. There was nothing to keep me merry, and it turned out that I wasn't actually happy at that time. I was faking it, as if something there is. Of the laughter, I said, it's mad. And I looked at the simcha, and I said, what's it going to do for me over here? I'm going to get absolutely nothing. The simcha means absolutely nothing to me. All of this wisdom, and all of this laughter, and this mirth, and everything I have, it's a fake. I'm not always feeling it. So sometimes I laugh and whatever it is, but it's not anything really there. I'm not able to keep anything from it, and it doesn't help me with the rest of my life. Tarti b'libi limshoch b'yayin. I went further into my life, searched my heart to be able to draw more limshoch b'yayin as b'sari, to get myself really into the wine. B'libi noy b'chokhma. And my heart yet was guided by wisdom. So then I decided, okay, it's not about the partying. I'm going to be able to drink wine while using my wisdom. I'll do both. I'm going to use only my wisdom, but I'm still going to go to the parties. V'lechos b'sichlos adashir era. And I'll do as much as I can until I see Eizetov livnei adam. What's the best thing for a person? Or she asks us, mispar yimechayim, during the days of their lives. So I tried mixing everything together. Merrymaking, wisdom. I tried putting all of them together with everything else. I increased my work. Banisili batayon. I ended up building houses. Natatili kramim. I thought, you know why I'm not happy? I don't have enough. Maybe if I have more vineyards. Maybe if I have a pool in my backyard. Maybe if I have a bigger house. Maybe that's the way that I'm going to be happy. Maybe that's it, right? It's just not about the partying. It's not about the chokhmah. Maybe I should add to it. Asisili ganos pardesim. I made more gardens and orchards. Natati van eats kolperi. I had all the fruit trees in the world there. Asisili brechos maim. I made pools. Lashkos meyam yartso meyach eitzim. And I gave to drink from over there a forest. I had everything I could want, and I did tremendous things over here. Some say that he even made yeshivos. He said to himself, you know what? I'll even make yeshivos, and I'll pay for people learning. Maybe that'll make me feel a little bit better about myself. Maybe that'll be there. Kanisi avadim ushvachos. I bought for myself servants and maidservants. B'nei bayis. Hayuli gam mikna bakar v'tzon. And other people in the household. I had tons of cattle and sheep. Harbe. Hayuli mikol asher hayu lefanei l'Yerushalayim. I had more than anybody else that was around there. I had personal slaves. I had people that were working for me. I had people all over the way, all over the place. I even had barburim avusim, says the Gemara. I had these fattened birds that I would eat. I ate the greatest, sweetest, most succulent foods every single night, and the greatest of drinks. Kanasi ligam kasev zov. I gathered for myself silver and gold, skulas malachim, all the treasures of the kings, v'amedinos in different places, asisili, sharim v'sharos. Not only that, I made musical instruments. Some say sharim v'sharos are gender, male musical instruments and female musical instruments. Some say it's male and female singers. Don't ask me how he was able to do that with Kol Isha. I guess Shlomo Melech didn't hold of that isser, right? Others say it's referring to unbelievable songs of the musicians. Some say it's public chants. Of course, the Gemara says, refers to, well, Tanugos Bnei Adam, pleasures of different people, that's the baths. Shida Vashidos, male and female demons as well. I had everything that a person could ask for. Anything you could want, I took care of it. I got it myself. I added on, I was more than anybody out there. Yet, I kept my chokhmah. I didn't want to just get involved with the pleasures. I already knew that was wrong. So I kept all of my chokhma and I kept it with me. Everything my eyes wanted, I did not hold back from the lamanati libi mikol simcha. I did not hold my heart back from any simcha, ki libi samach mikol mali, because my heart was happy with all of the toil that went through zaya chelki mikol mali, and this is my chelik, this is my portion from all of the tremendous labor that I had over here. Seeing, this is also a reference to the woman he was involved with, which he doesn't want to say straight out, which is a not nice thing to say. But I got involved with every woman that I wanted. I married thousands of wives. I had every single woman that I could want. So somebody would say, like, oh, well, you had silver and gold, but you only had one wife, and that wasn't enough for you. And clearly, you would have had all the... No, Shlomo Melch said, I had every woman I could possibly desire. Every type of woman that I could desire, I had it over here. And nonetheless, still out there. You know what we learned from this pasuk, by the way? The order of marriage is that you have to build your house, plant your vineyard, do your business, and then get married. The Gemara learns it from these psukim, because he only got married. He only talks about his wife after he had already built the other two things. It's interesting. Okay, right over there. But that's
someone,
that.
Someone should have a job before they get married.
That's his line. That's the line of the Gemara.
Didn't they learn it from the order of people that are excused from born to
war? Yeah, that from the psukim and kisetze, right? So the lines over here are also supposed to be teaching over there. I think there's a stew in those psukim, if I remember correctly. And that's why the Gemara says, but the Gemara says from Shlomo, you can get it. Prinzi b'chomasai, I went through all of my deeds. Also yadai, that my hands made, almost shamalti lasos, and all the toil that I went through, Akol, Havu Ruzwa. Guess what? I came out with nothing. The Ein Yisro and Shemesh. I got no profit under the sun. I got nothing better over here. He said, I got nothing more. I didn't see anything better. I didn't see that I was actually gaining. So I turned to look at all these things, at wisdom and madness and folly. What is a man to do when he comes after the king and what he has already done? How could a person possibly do more than what I've already done when it comes to here? Shalvach is saying, I don't think there's a possibility of anybody becoming richer than I already am. Now, I don't know what that means. Does Bill Gates have absolutely everything he wants in the world? The answer is no. Because number one, right, he cannot have, yeah, he cannot, well, I don't even mean stuff like that. I mean, he cannot have any woman in the world the way that Shlomo Melech had, right? He cannot have a rulership over a whole nation like Shlomo Melech had. Bill Gates is not running for president, right? There are limitations.
The only person that I would say money-wise where he came close then was J.P. Morgan. I think it was Morgan.
Yeah, but he didn't have the power.
No, but I'm saying money-wise. I'm saying he burned money. He burned his own money.
Wait, hold on. You're not talking about
Morgan. No, Morgan. Who is it? You know what I'm talking about.
Mellon?
No.
Vanderbilt. Okay. He deal with a very rich guy.
He burned thousands of hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah. Bills.
But he still wasn't a president. He still wasn't a king. This guy had more.
I mean,
we have somebody over here. He tried to overcome. He thought maybe I could do more. He had more than 18 wives. He had more than all the horses. He gathered more money than he could possibly imagine. He thought he'd be able to overcome it. And he realized, that was stupid. I didn't do it well. And not only that, but they got me over there. I saw that chokhma does have an advantage over folly, over foolishness. It's like light over dark. The darkness is necessary. You need to be able to rest from the labors of the day. So when the light goes down, you know that you're supposed to go through it. And so too for folly. If not for the folly that a person goes through, then nobody would ever build an enduring edifice. Because everybody sits there and says, I'll do it, whatever. But you have to see the foolishness of other people to spur you on to do better, to do more. And sometimes that's the idea that a person has to see the foolishness. And he said like this, he said, I see chokhma min hasichlos. You do need a little bit of foolishness. You need a little bit of that together with your chokhma. And together, like you need the dark with the light. A wise man, his eyes are on the top of his head. He's always looking toward the future to see what's going to be. The fool goes in darkness. He has no idea what's happening, and he doesn't care about anything but the here and now. But I know at the end of the day, they're all going to die. There's no real difference between the chacham and the sachal at the end of the day. It's not that the chacham is going to last any longer. They're going to be the same when it comes to that. But Martiani believed, and I said to myself, you know what happens to the fool? It's going to happen to me. Lama chachamti. Ani az yoser. What does that mean, that I'm smarter than anybody else? You believe it, and I said to myself, she comes to hevel. You know what? There's also kind of hevel. There's no memory of the wise man more than the fool man. Lo'olam k'shukvara yame lo'olam forever. Because as time goes on, everything's going to be forgotten. How can it be that the Chacham is together with the Ksil itself, that he's going to be whatever? So Shlomo Melech is not denying the presence of Olam Haba, although some people say that that's almost like a denial of what's going to happen in the future. He's saying, but I don't get it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made the world in such a way where no matter what you do, it all boils down to the fact that you're not going to be able to outsmart death. The Sanesi is a chaim. I hated life when I saw that. Uh-huh. Now everything that was happening under the sun was evil to me. It's all a waste of time. And then I hated all of my toil that I did under the sun. What am I doing? Just leaving it for the kid after me? That they're going to get it after me? What's the point? What's the point? If I'm not gaining from it, then what is the idea? Obviously, I want my son after me to be able to have a lot. But at the end of the day, I'm gaining nothing from all this toil and all this work, and my kid is getting it for free. So that's ridiculous. I wish I would have been my kid. That way I didn't have to go through all the toil, and my kid would have everything. I would have everything that way. Nobody knows if he'll be a wise man or a fool. And he's going to rule this kid. I have no idea if he's going to be a wise man or a fool. He's going to rule over everything I had. He's going to ruin everything. It's possible that he's going to ruin absolutely everything. Reb Meir said that he used to earn 3 coins a week. One went for food, one went for clothes, one went for tzedakah. When they asked him, Reb Meir, what are you doing with your kids? How are you going to save money for your kids? Reb Meir said, my kids, Kadosh Baruch will take care of them. That's what he used to say. He never had savings for that reason. Because he figured that's a bitachon. Now again, that's really good for some people. Obviously, it's not the greatest thing in the world. It's like a guy planting a carob tree. It takes 70 years for a carob tree to bear fruit, according to the Gemara. It's not that long in our Gemara, in our world. But a carob tree takes a long time to bear fruit. He said, are you planting that for yourself? You're never going to see it. So what did he say back? He said, no, I'm planting it for my kids. My kids. I found carob trees. Somebody had to plant it for me. So I'm planting it for my kids. There are certain things you plant for them, certain things that you don't have to give them. And said Shlomo also, everything's going to come at the end of the day. You know what I did? I despaired of all my heart. Of all the toil that I did. There are some people that work really hard in Chochmah and Das and Kishron and what they do. And the person who we passed on the portion, he hasn't really done anything. At the end of the day, all the toil and the worry, what's the point? What are you going to end off with everything at the end of the day? Everything can be taken away. You have to worry about what's going to happen with you. Because all of your days are going to be in pain, v'kas, and there's anger in Yanu Gam Balayla, even at the night. And you're never going to be able to sleep at night. That's Hevel. If a person is so ill-willed that he can't deal with all the things that are going on in his life, he can't even sleep at night? That's not good. There's no way that's a real life. There's no way that's going to be able to do. So he said, it's Hevel. The pain and the anger and the nights without sleep are going to accomplish nothing. There's no point. So what am I worried about? I'm worried about what I could possibly get. What's the point? I'm getting that. It doesn't really matter. Whatever Kadosh Baruch wants will be. There's nothing better than a person to eat and drink and show himself that he's getting pleasure out of the work that he had and doing something in this world and seeing that his own labor is paying for what he has. And I see that that's part of what God is, right? It's not good to be able to take a handout from strangers. It's not good to be able to say, this is all I'm getting, and to be able to get something for free. Allowing ourselves, truth is that everybody should be working on doing another thing and working on another thing, et cetera, and stuff like that. And that's an allusion to the Torah study that a person has. So it's kind of interesting how it ends up working over here. That's the poor man. We don't have to do that much over. Who's going to eat and who's going to enjoy, if not me? In other words, I started looking at it and I started saying to myself, you know what? I'm going to have to be a little bit more selfish. Maybe I should put more into what I have over here. So again, he's rejected taivas alone. He's rejected taivas and chachma because he sees that in the end it's not going to be there. So he said, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy what I have right now. The man who is God loves, he gives him chachma, das, and simcha. He gives him reason to gather and to do more things. And this idea of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving it over to whatever, something that was pleasing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it seems to be Hevel and Rosh Ruach, as if you don't need this whatsoever. It's nothing that you need more than anything else. Once again, the way he's saying it is that if you're pleasing before him and you do what you're supposed to do, then you're going to get rewarded, not only in this world, but in the next. But the fact that you have to go and work and whatever it is, and at the end, you're giving everything over to your kid and you gain nothing from it, not in this world and the next, no point. Absolutely no point. The guy who works to the end of his life, right, to the end of his life, and he's working hard and working hard and working hard, all to be able to get that paid vacation, and then he dies. You know, what are you going to do with that? We're up to Parak Gimel. This is where he is right now. He has not finished yet. He starts seeing where there's a chance for everything, and everything has its place. We'll stop.